Praise God. Hallelujah. Excited to be in church tonight? Sure hope so. Amen. We're excited to be here. You know, last week I was leaving the Mayville service. My wife and I were going to grab lunch. And it was interesting because they made a statement about, you know, about, we'll just say this, a statement about the differences between the two churches. And as I did that, I heard in my spirit, I heard the Lord say to me and speak to me some things about the difference between the churches and how the differences don't matter. But all that matters is that really is that what God, he didn't say these things, but that's what he was implying. And that that what God wants to do is all that matters. Amen. And so I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that we have a Lord that leads us and guides us, a Lord that we could trust in, amen. You know, one of the key themes of Scripture is to learn to trust God. And as Christians, this is our number one duty, amen. We need to learn to trust God, amen. First and foremost, of course, through His Word. But as we learn His Word, then we can be acquainted with His Spirit. And once we get acquainted with His Spirit, oh man, then things get really good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because God wants us helped. He wants us, He's got a good plan for us. You know, there's some people that try to claim that God doesn't have a good plan for them. I just don't see how you can see that in Scripture. You know, even if you take Jeremiah 29:11 out, some people like to say, well, that doesn't apply to the modern day church and stuff like that. Well, even if you took that out, you still can't say that God doesn't have a good plan for His people. God's got a wonderful plan for His people. We know this by a whole slew of other scriptures, like Romans 8:28 and Romans 8:32, praise the Lord, and Ephesians 3:20, glory to God. And you know, we do like the Psalms, and praise the Lord. There's a whole mess of them, a whole slew of them that tells us about it too, amen. 100 and some of them. I don't even know how many. There's 100 and a bunch. Glory to God. And so God's got good plans for us. He's got good things for us. He gave us Jesus. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us a church. He gave us pastors. He gave us the other ministry offices, praise the Lord, all to help us grow and learn about Him, amen. And learning about God, one of the wonderful things about that is that He will change your life. Amen. I'm so thankful for that God came into my life. He invaded my space and He changed it. Praise the Lord. I was thinking just the other day, I was thinking about the life I used to live, and well, glory to God. I just will say this, I was unqualified to stand before you. I was unqualified to stand before anybody. Praise the Lord. But God came in and invaded my life and changed it, and it's just been blessed ever since. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Introduction over. Praise the Lord. Today's message is called, How Will You Be Molded? Amen. And, you know, this came to me as I woke up. It was really interesting, you know, how God will build a scripture on just one idea or one thought. But as I was just coming to, it was even this morning, you know, I don't, of course, Saturdays aren't the only time I spend in the Word, and it's not the only time I prepare for services. I try to spend time all week in the Word, amen. And as every Christian should, not just pastors, but I seek the Lord just for what He wants or what He has to say to me. And He speaks to me all the time. Praise the Lord. And He will you too if you want to listen to Him. Amen. But as I was coming to this morning, this idea, this concept of Scripture, and then the idea of what's attached to it. We'll get to the Scripture a little bit later on. I'll let you know when we get there. But that's where the whole sermon was based out of, was this idea of what He wants to do in us. And so God intends us to, he calls us from wherever we're at. We know that. But God never wants to leave us the same. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many know that if God was okay with just leaving you as you came in? And what I mean is came in the first time. And I don't mean just because you know, the way you're dressed or whatever, the way you know, your family background or the town that you live in or any of those things. But I mean just when you come in, there's a certain way about you that isn't fully sanctified. We know this is the truth with every man, woman, and child, that there's nobody that comes to the Lord and is what God wants them to be. In fact, we're told in Romans 5:8, that God came when there was absolutely no good feelings to be had. Amen. It says, while we were yet sinners, Praise the Lord. Christ died for us. And that, actually, that was the scripture specifically that God gave me last week in reflection of this church. Amen. Is that while we were yet sinners, it doesn't matter. There might not be anything even here to desire in Corey. In this church, there may be nothing naturally to desire. But God has things that he wants to do in us. Amen. And so it would be a shame that if he called people into his presence and said, I don't want to change you. But God does want to change us, but that change isn't a bad change. Yes, sometimes that change will affect our flesh in a way that we don't necessarily like, because the molding process is like that. I was watching somebody making on YouTube this week. I was watching somebody make something in a mold. They were making something out of plastic and they were molding it. And one of the things they were talking about is pressing it into the mold. Yeah. Amen. Now, if you were plastic being pressed into the mold, you know, one of the things you know is they're pressing it in there, and you're watching the video, they're pressing it in there and they're putting clamps on it and they're pushing it. It's not comfortable. It wouldn't be comfortable on the plastic if plastic was an animate object. Thankfully for the plastic, it's not animate. It was inanimate, praise the Lord. But it was being pressed in there, and the press isn't always comfortable. But you know something? Have you ever been pressed in life? Yeah. Glory to God. You don't just have to get pressed by God. See, the greatest thing about being pressed by God that's different about being pressed by life is that when you get pressed by God, what comes out on the other side is something that's very valuable. It's something that's very desirable. Amen. But when you get pressed in life, there's no guarantee in the press of life that you're going to come out on the other side and that you're going to be anything that's desirable at all. In fact, in my old life, the life that I talk about so often, the way that I lived, every single thing that I did, I felt pressed on. But every single result that I got never was enjoyable, was never pleasurable, was nothing anybody was fighting over or deciding that they even wanted. Amen. It was pretty much worthless. But see, as God intervened in my life, he pressed me and molded me into something that he wanted. Now, I know we want to get to the word, so let's turn to Romans 8:29. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I've been noticing this lately. This has been happening a little bit lately. You know, sometimes we'll go to scriptures and we'll go to, you know, often we'll go to scriptures that we see often. But when we, a lot of times we'll go to a set of scriptures. Amen. But what I've been noticing lately is that God has been, in some of my sermons, has been taking certain scriptures out of a set of scriptures and focusing or zeroing in on that scripture. Amen. And I love that because there's always some things that we can miss sometimes when you're just going along. Amen. Yeah. Romans 8:29, glory to God. The Bible says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Bible says, whom he foreknew, he predestined. Now, this is not saying that God is a God of predestination in the sense that he has already planned out your life exactly what will happen and all those things. Amen. Some people like to use scriptures like this for that purpose, but that's not what it's saying. It's saying he knew you ahead of time. And we're going to get to that because I've seen some things in this that I never quite saw before. Amen. And that doesn't mean because it's new revelation. It certainly isn't. I'm just getting the understanding of the old revelation. Praise the Lord. But, you know, as we see here, he predestined us, meaning he had a plan. He had something for us to become. Amen. And this is really important for us to understand that God has something that he wants. Now, if God is good, then everything he wants to do is good. Amen. And so if God wants to do something in us, we have to understand that that's good. So if he's predestined us to do something, that means he's predestined us for something good. Amen. Praise the Lord. So whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son. And so we see there, that's what he wants. Jesus was the example of what we were supposed to be. And this is what God wanted to bring us to. So many times the disconnect in Christians' lives or people's lives is they don't realize that they're supposed to be conformed or changed into something else. They come in to be a Christian and they think they can stay the same way. Now, you can stay the same way, you just won't be effective. See, everybody wants effective prayers, right? Is there anyone who doesn't want a prayer answered when they pray it? Right? I mean, we all want our prayers answered. Well, the truth is of the word is that God says he will answer all our prayers. There's no prayers he won't answer. And so some people are going around because they don't get their prayers answered, going, well, God must not want to answer them. So then they start teaching or start telling other people that God doesn't answer all your prayers. But that's just not true. That's not what the Bible says. We say, well, that's not my experience. I don't care what your experience is. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible tells us that if we're conformed into something else, something different, if we're changed, if we're molded, if we're pressed into that mold and become something different, amen, we become something that is desirable, something God can use. Now, don't turn there, but Jeremiah 1:5, this is a scripture that we're all probably somewhat familiar with. We've heard it some form or another. We'll focus on the first part of it. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. Well, praise the Lord. Now, you know, see, I always took this scripture and I kind of thought, this is one of those things where I got a little deeper revelation. I always thought that this meant that I necessarily existed before I was formed in the womb. I'm not so sure that the scripture is saying that. Praise the Lord. Because as I look at it and I look at it in context, it's saying the same things that Romans 8:29 is saying. He predestined us. When he's saying, I knew you, it means, yeah, I had a plan for you. I had already determined that there was a way that your life should go and that there was, we know other scriptures, like he's determined where we existed or when we existed and how we existed and at what climate or what geographic location that we existed, amen? So if you began to exist in Corey, Pennsylvania, praise the Lord, God determined before you even existed, and that's what he means by he knew you, amen? Yeah. Glory to God. And so God had a plan for you. He thoughtfully of you, amen? And so we can see that according to scripture. We can understand that God had something for you to become. But we know this, that maybe you were born into a family that was poor. I wasn't born into a family that was overly wealthy. In fact, we saw a lot of times where there was times where things got real tight. My kids were not born into a family that was wealthy. Amen. There was plenty of times where we didn't have even some of the basic things that we needed. But praise God, God didn't want to leave us there. And just because you're born into something doesn't mean that's all that God has for you. What God has for you comes, it's on the outside of you, amen? It's something that we can enter into. And this is what God wants. And this is why God wants to plant Bible-based churches in probably every town in America. I mean, that's his desire, is to get or at least be able to reach every town or every area in America, because God wants people to understand that there is a way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What does that mean? Unless they're conformed into his image. See, without God's image, you weren't something that was desirable. You weren't something that could enter into heaven. You weren't something that could enter into the kingdom of God. You weren't something that could enter into the blessing of the Lord, except by being conformed, amen? So that's what God wants to do in us. Before he formed us, he knew us. He had a plan even before he started. It wasn't like, oh, you know, have you ever started something and then partway through you go, like, oh, I forgot to do this. I do this all the time when I'm cooking, which I don't cook very often, but I did this morning. I decided to make myself something, and I'm trying to plan it all right. I'm trying to plan the meat at a certain time and the eggs at a certain time, and you know everything cooks differently at different intervals, and so I got some other stuff in there, and I'm throwing things together and trying to get it, and then I start getting a little bit frantic because I'm like, well, I better hurry up and get this going because the other thing, you know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, God didn't look at us that way. He wasn't confused. He didn't know. He had a plan. He said, okay, I'm going to lay it all out ahead of time. I'm going to figure it all out ahead of time. Again, not what our life would be, but what our life could be. Amen. Your life is not necessarily a matter of what God desires. Praise the Lord. But it sure can be. And how does that, how can the can be happen? The can be happens through the conforming into God's image, into the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. So Jesus wants us to look like him. Praise the Lord. And what I mean by look like him, he wants us to be blonde-haired, blue-eyed, white guy. You know, that's probably not the truth. You know, Jesus was met, in the Middle East, praise the Lord. So, and he was Jewish, glory to God. So there's a good chance that he was not just pure white and blonde like we see in all the pictures. But if that's the only Jesus you can understand, well, that's fine. You stay there for now, praise the Lord. But, he's not telling us all to conform exactly the way he looked. We don't all have to have a beard and long hair and wear sandals or all the pictures that we see. That's not what we have to look like. That's not what he means by being conformed into his image. We understand in Genesis 1, it says that God created us in his image, amen, or to be like him, to be the kind of being that he is, amen? Well, praise God, hallelujah. So God's got a plan for us. God's got a blessed plan for us. But we have to be willing to be molded. We have to be willing to be changed. You know what I find so often is that it's so funny as a pastor, people come to you and say, my life is broken. And then you start telling them the change and they say, well, I don't want to do that. But see, here's the thing. Doing what you always did was what broke you. Living the life you always lived is why you're broken. If you want to get fixed, you got to do something different. And the something different probably isn't something that you figured out. Otherwise, you wouldn't be standing before me asking how to get fixed. See, that's the whole thing with getting, if we want a change in life, God does not determine that any man, woman, or child should go without anything. We should be full in all areas of our life. Amen? That does not mean that we'll be filthy, stinking rich. It doesn't mean that we'll drive Lamborghinis and stuff like that. But it does mean that God's plan, God's desire for humanity is that they are taken care of fully, that they have all that they need. Amen? Praise the Lord. We talk about, we even quote scriptures out of old religion, quote scriptures that talk about, you know, my cup runneth over. We've heard those things. What does cup running over means? It means you have more than you need. Yes. Amen? When you're full turned the fish and when he multiplied the fish and the bread with he fed the thousands of people. What does it say about it afterwards? It says that they took up baskets of food that was left over. What is that? That is a God who is more than enough. God does not just want you to be a God that's just enough. He's not a God of just enough. He's a God of more than enough. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Praise God. God wants us blessed. He wants us helped. Amen. But we must be willing to change. We must be willing to conform into the image of Christ. Now, what does that look like exactly? Well, that's a process that generally happens over a period of time. It's not something that happens overnight. Amen. So you don't have to come in here thinking that Pastor Jeff is just telling you got to change everything overnight, because that's not the case. I love what God does, in fact, in us, how he does it. Is he works things into us. Every sermon, every time we get into prayer, every time we get into the Word, every time we hear a sermon, amen, or go to a Bible study or what any of these things, all these things God is using to instill and impart things into us. But see, a lot of people go to these types of things. A lot of people go to spiritual help with the idea that they're already going to reject it when they get there. You know what I mean? They said, well, I will do it if they fall within these guidelines. But if it's not within these guidelines, if it doesn't entertain my ideas of how things should be, then I'm going to reject it. See, you can't have that idea. You have to be moldable all the time. One of the wonderful things I've learned about this faith is that God will continually mold you until he comes back or until you go home. Amen. One of the two. That it doesn't matter if you've been preaching for 50 years, God's still molding you. It doesn't matter if you have more knowledge of the word than anybody who has ever existed ever before. It doesn't matter. God is still molding you. He's still desiring to change. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why? Because the Bible says we go from glory to glory. So he's always looking to take us into another level of glory. 2 Timothy 2:20. Praise the Lord. We're going to read verses 20 and 21. And these are the scriptures that the Lord spoke to me. And this is where the message was birthed out of. Amen. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for honor and some are for dishonor. Now, of course, what Paul was talking to Timothy about here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but what he was talking to him about was not talking about actual implements in a house. He wasn't talking about the jug that you put the fake plants in. Praise the Lord. He wasn't talking about the buckets that you go around and collect the offering in. And he certainly wasn't talking about the toilets where you do other things in. Amen? Praise the Lord. But he was using those as a reference, showing us how we are. Amen? They were making a connection between this and humans. Sometimes you notice this. There's been many times in my life where I felt like I was a pretty good toilet. Is anybody else there? Amen? There's been many times in my life where I thought people were using me like a garbage disposal. You know, they just wanted to dump things down me and have me grind it up and take care of it. Amen? Sometimes as a pastor, it's still that way. Amen? But we see that in any house, and praise the Lord, but in a great house, there are always these types of things. Amen? It says some for honor and some for dishonor. But it goes on to say, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor. Amen? Sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Isn't that awesome? So, but notice that the responsibility of becoming a vessel for honor or dishonor has nothing to do with God's decision. He says, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter. In other words, if you take the things that are dishonorable out of your life, then you'll be a vessel for honor. God wants to use you as a vessel for honor, but he can't use you for a vessel for honor if you refuse to be a vessel that's honored. If you're going to be a vessel that is that is used for garbage, praise the Lord, how am I a vessel that's used for garbage? What do you constantly put into your life? What kind of thoughts do you constantly have entering? What kind of thoughts do you receive? What kind of voices do you have speaking into your life? All these things can cause dishonor. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, there's people out there that are so vile and so dishonorable that they can't receive anything from God at all. I saw a video about this recently, a video of a preacher. It was up in Canada, and this street preacher was out, and he was just preaching, and all he was saying, he wasn't attacking any group. He wasn't looking at any, and he was a black preacher too, by the way, but he wasn't attacking any group. He wasn't attacking any person's beliefs. The only thing he was saying is, repent. The kingdom of God, heaven is near, basically what he was saying. The same message as John the Baptist. He was saying, if you don't repent of your sins, you are going to die in them, is what he was saying. Amen? There was people that followed him and were so violently hated him that he was walking away. And he kept saying as he was going, I'm not chasing you down. You're chasing me down. And yet they were justified in doing so. Now, these people that were that support all the causes and stuff, they were also attacking this man who was also a black man. But in this case, it became acceptable because he was preaching something they didn't like. Amen. And what the Lord showed me later on through this is that he showed me, I was just kind of thinking about it a little bit. And then all of a sudden, the Lord reminded me that they did the same thing with Jesus. That Jesus came saying he was the Son of God, and they tried to stone him. Jesus said that he was doing things by the hand of God, and they tried to stone him. They tried to kill him. In fact, when they finally got to him, when it finally got to the point, the one who had the power, the Roman emperor had the power of executing him, even said, listen, I will release him. He hasn't done anything wrong. And they said, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Why were they saying that? Because they were vessels of dishonor. They were the religious leaders, but they were vessels of dishonor. They didn't agree with the word. They didn't like the word. They didn't like because it was tempting their, or because it was challenging their flesh, I should say, not tempting their flesh. It was challenging their flesh. And so when it started challenging their flesh, they said, this can't be right. This isn't what we want. We won't receive this. And they wouldn't receive truth. And this is exactly what people do today. This is exactly what people in churches are doing today. They're saying, I won't receive the truth. I want what I want. They're vessels of dishonor. They're vessels that God can't use to honor because they refuse the very things that God has given them to be honorable. God gave us the word. We cannot reject the word. The word has to be first and foremost because the word was given to us. Some people say, well, Jesus, he never talked about this subject or that subject. Yes, he did, because this is Jesus. This Bible is Jesus. This every word that is written in here came from the mouth of the Lord. Praise God. And if you don't receive that, you don't receive what he has for you. They rejected the word then. They reject the word now. The truth has not changed at all. Praise the Lord. We want to be people that want to be honorable. Praise the Lord. But we choose what kind of vessels we're going to be. We choose whether or not God wants will mold us. God isn't refusing to mold us. He's saying, I'm waiting for you to be conformed. I'm waiting for you to decide. Yes, I will be changed by the word of God. I will be changed because I see it in the word of God. I will be changed. It doesn't matter what I feel. I receive the word of God. It's the word of God that changed my life. It was not Jeff. It was not Jeff's ideas, because my ideas were taking me to one place, and that one place was hell. The thing that changed my life was when I conformed my life to something that was greater than what I was. But see, there's this humanism that's going around today that's popular in our country and in the world actually today. This humanism that whatever you decide is what's right, and whatever God said isn't necessarily the truth. We start worshiping the creation and forget that there's a creator who is above all creation. There's a creator who determined that we would have local churches, not man. There was a creator who determined that we would have pastors, not man. There was a creator who determined that we would have the preaching of the word, not man. And therefore, if it's not man who decided it, it's not man who decides how it should work. But God is the one who decides how it works. Why is there not change in the church? Because the church isn't conforming to God. The church is conforming to the world. When the church continually and continually and continually looks just like the world looks, well, they say, well, you should change. This is modern days after all. This is 2020 after all. We should change. That was written so long ago. They were doing the same things they were doing today. They were doing them then. There was no difference. In fact, it was worse then. The governments were worse then. But that doesn't mean the governments can't get back there, because we know that's exactly where it all heads. Our hope is in the Word. Change is in the Word. Praise the Lord. Change is not something that you are going to get because you come up with a good idea. You might change something, but it's not going to be necessarily good. Yeah. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. You know, in thinking about this, and there was even a discussion about this week about works. What are works? You know, the Bible says we're not saved by works. And so many Christians, they talk about this. We're not saved by works. God didn't save us by our works, by what we did. Yes, that's true. We're not saved by the works, but we are saved for works. What works are you saved for? That you would follow certain rules? No. That's not what God saved you for. In fact, God actually lifted us up out of the law. He gave us the ability to exist without the condemnation that the law would that put on us. But that doesn't mean that the works that we are saved for are the works that he has for us. But we can't know what those works are until we conform. Because he isn't telling you what he wants you to do if you're refusing to do it. He stops telling you. Christians who don't listen to God are Christians who won't be led by God. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 8:14 tells us, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Well, we're all children of God, aren't we? Not according to the Word. The children of God are led by His Spirit. How is His Spirit leading? You've got a lot of Christians, and you got a whole other sect of Christians that are saying, well, the Spirit of God is leading me to do this and leading me to do that and leading me here and leading me there. In fact, I know people who come to me. The Spirit of God is leading them everywhere except for stability. Yeah. He's leading them everywhere except for where He wants them to be. Stay stable. The Word of God puts stability in Christians, in Christianity. The reason Christianity is so unstable is because it's not godly. I'm not saying all Christianity. I'm just talking about in Christians, why you don't see it in churches. I've talked to people who are elders in other churches, and I'm just perplexed at what they don't know. I'm perplexed at the lack of understanding of the most basic principles of the Word. Yeah. They don't know them. And I'm not an educated man. You all remember, I'm a high school dropout. I didn't have some grand university, some great degrees, saying that I'm this or that. I wasn't really highly educated or anything like that. Quite the opposite. But I get the basic principles of the Word. Amen. It's not difficult. It's not hard. But you have to be willing to conform. Amen. Glory to God. And you will be prepared for every good work. God wants to reveal His good works, the things that He wants to do in you. He wants to reveal them to you continually. But we have to be willing to go with it. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have to be willing to be honorable. In John 4:34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." God said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." There's a work that was prepared for you before your days even began. God prepared a work. And you know what's a wonderful thing about God preparing a work? Is that when God prepares a work, He also prepares the way. He prepares the supply. This is what Jesus said. This is how He was responding. They were trying to get Him to eat. And He said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me." What was He saying? The provision of my life is in His will. The provision for my life. Why are Christians not being provided? Are they even in his will? How will they know? Well, if they're not honorable, they're never going to know. And yet so many Christians live dishonorable lives. What do I mean by this? Do I mean that they make mistakes? Well, we all are going to make mistakes at some point. Amen. Some of us more than others. But we're all going to make mistakes. It's not about doing that. But it's about recognizing that things are, instead of justifying a mistake and saying, this is what is now my truth, by looking at a mistake and saying, that's not what the Bible says. That's against what the Bible says. That's against what God says. So this is not truth. Condemning the thoughts that are not of God. Praise the Lord. This is what Christians are called to. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me." If we are to be conformed into Jesus' image, and we've already probably guessed that, doesn't mean that we're all supposed to grow a beard and have long hair, praise the Lord, that we're all supposed to be, that our lives are supposed to look like His life. Does it mean that we're all going to hang on a cross? No, that's not what it means either. It means to find out what the works are that God has for us to do, and then do them faithfully. God has called us each into something. Praise the Lord. Me, He's called to be a pastor. Most of you will probably never pastor. But He's called me to this. As I fulfill that, God's supply meets me. His plan is being carried out. And as I carry out His plan, all that's required for that plan, including taking care of me. Because if I'm not taken care of, then I'm no longer a vessel of honor. What do we know about gold vessels? Has anyone ever seen a gold vessel? If you've ever been to a museum or something, you probably don't have any gold, real gold vessels in your house. But if you have ever been to a museum, you've seen gold vessels with jewels and everything else. What do you know about those vessels? Number one, they're always well taken care of. One thing you never do is find like a royal, like a crown, the crown jewels, you know, like if you think about Britain or something like that. One thing you never see when they say, "Hey, we're going to go see, we're going to show off the crown jewels today." Yeah, let me go to the closet behind the kitchen, and I'm going to go in there and move the dustpan and the brooms and the garbage can, and that's where we store the crown jewels. You notice that never happens, right? Where do you find the crown jewels? Behind lock and key. They're guarded by security. You know, the Bible says that I give my angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Praise the Lord. What is that? That's security for the crown jewels. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what it is. We're God's crown jewels. He's saying, be the crown jewels. Be cleanse yourself from the ladder. Don't be a toilet anymore. Praise the Lord. Now, my wife and I saw it was a 24-karat gold toilet, an entire toilet. There was a line of people waiting to use this toilet. And not because it was the only toilet in the building and everyone needed to go. They wanted to use it because everyone wanted to say they wanted to put their butt on a 24-karat gold toilet. Yeah, it's kind of weird. I didn't wait in line for it. Amen. I just peeked as I walked by when no one was in there. Amen. I peeked as I walked by. Oh, yeah, it's a 24-karat gold toilet. That's pretty awesome. Listen, 24-karat gold toilet, I'd like to own one, but I don't want to be one. Yeah. Amen. Because still, the things that go down that toilet still are not desirable, amen? The things that are being put into there, you don't think, oh, I'm going to go put the best of the best in there. You know, when my mom makes a really wonderful pie, glory to God, I don't look at it and think, oh, I'm going to go dump it in the toilet. No, that's not where it goes. It goes into a prominent place before it gets eaten, amen? What goes, you know, maybe later on it goes in the toilet, but that's a whole different thing, glory to God. I still don't want to be a 24-karat gold toilet. I want to be what God has made me to be, which is a vessel of honor. What's a vessel of honor? Again, you put it on display. You know, we were in Washington, D.C. one time, and we went to the American, one of the museums, the History Museum. And is that the one with the Hope Diamond? You all heard of the Hope Diamond? This enormous diamond, it's got all this history and all this. And it's in this room, in the center of the room, in its own case, and people from all over the world come to that room just to look at that diamond. They don't even get to touch it. They don't even get to smell it. They don't even get to, like, they actually can't even get that close to it. And with all the people in there, you don't even get a really good glimpse of it. You walk by with your phone trying to get a picture of it so you can look at it later. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you never get a picture of, you know, it's never by itself. It's always surrounded and it's highly desired. I'm trying to give you the idea of what God has destined us to be. God has destined us to be honorable. He said, if anyone, he didn't say, let's go back there. Praise the Lord. He said, He said, if anyone cleanses himself from the ladder. God has not determined you, that you need to be a toilet. If all God's people decide to stop being toilets and there's no more toilets, God isn't going to leave us high and dry. He will make sure that we have toilets. You don't need to be a toilet. You need to decide, I'm not going to be a toilet. You need to decide, I want to be the vessel that everybody wants to come gather around, where people from all over the world come to seek out. That's what God has called us to be. Why is the church not being it? Why are not the people in the church being it? The people still living these lives. I remember crawling out of the gutter, literally in my old life, crawling out of the gutter. I have had my body wrapped around toilets that I would not use today because that's where my life was. Toilets that were so disgusting and I was passed out doing what all over it. I would not use that today. God has not called us to that. What brings somebody up out of that into a place of prominence? The only thing is the truth, cleansing yourself from the ladder, allowing God's word to mold you and change you into something that he wants you to be. Stop determining in your life, this is what I want. This is what I want to be. Stop determining in your life, this is what I want to do. Start determining in your life, I only want what God has for me, and I will take nothing less. And when you decide that, when you hold to that, your life will change in a way that will be obvious to everybody who meets you. Nobody will want to refuse you. Everybody, the favor of God will surround you. Angels will encamp around you. You will not have trials, even though things come against you. God himself will lift you up because now you are a vessel of honor. Stop being a toilet. Stop being dishonorable. It doesn't mean that you have to wear certain clothes or that you have to, you have to have a certain job or make a certain amount of money. It just means you have to make a decision in your heart to live for God and only God and have nothing less than just what God has for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 3:9. You might think, well, Pastor Jeff, you're getting pretty fired up about this stuff. Yes, I get fired up about this stuff. Because I look and I see the world hurting. I see this nation reeling. Literally shaken and brought to its knees. And the reason it's brought to its knees is because the church is not the church that God has intended it to be. God has determined that the church is you and I. If you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are the church. He has determined that the church would change the world. The church is not this building. We hear that all the time, but what does that really mean? It doesn't mean we don't congregate here. This is where the church comes together, but the church comes together here to go out there and be the church out there to change the lives of people. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Praise the Lord. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other, of course, this is talking about in context, this is talking about ministers, ministry. Praise the Lord. He said, I laid a foundation, but to let each one take heed how they build on it. You just don't throw any structure. If you go and you invest in the greatest foundation in the world, you don't go just throw a barn up on it. Amen? You consider what you put on it. Amen? For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. Notice these are very matter of fact. It will be. The things you do on earth, this is what it's talking about, the works that you do, the life that you live. You will stand before the Lord, and you will give an account for what you did with your life. He is not going to stand there and hear, I was too busy. I was really distracted by Facebook for 10 years straight. I was really distracted by YouTube. I was really distracted by, you know what, God, I couldn't pay my bill. I was distracted by work. You know what God is going to say? Jesus told you, do not worry about a thing. I'll take care of everything if you follow me. And yet we have people running around. We have Christians running around with like chickens with their heads cut off, not knowing how they're going to pay the next bill. You know how you know? You start trusting God. God will pay your bills. You start serving the Lord with all your heart. He'll pay your bills. He'll take care of it all. Amen? See, some people talk about the prosperity message. This is the balanced prosperity message. You do the work of the Lord, He takes care of you. That's what Jesus said. Listen, if that statement isn't true, then none of this is true. We're wasting our time here. If that statement isn't true, there is no heaven for you to look forward to. Because the same Jesus that said that said this other thing too. The same Jesus that said that he is the way, the truth, the life, that nobody gets to the Father except through him, is the same Jesus that said, I will take care of all your needs if you follow me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. No other foundation. Each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Your work will be found, of course, in that at that time. The work that you do, the work of was the way that you lived your life. What sort of work was it? Was it worthy to be honored? Was it worthy to have a plaque put up about it? You know, have you ever seen that plaques around when somebody, in a lot of old churches you'll see them? you know, so-and-so, in memory of so-and-so, they did this, this, and this, and this, what, you know, this is the Jeffsonian Chapel, because, you know, Jeff was here, and he did all this stuff, and glory to God, they put a plaque on the wall, hallelujah. There was a time when that kind of stuff was important in the church. Yeah. Now everybody comes to the church and thinks, you know, somebody else will take care of it. Somebody else will do it. Praise the Lord. They'll think somebody else will, you know, somebody else will make sure that everything else is going good. Or somebody else will make sure the bills are paid. Somebody else, I just come here to just be free. Folks, I'm telling you, that work burns. And it burns real quick. Amen. Glory to God. That stuff is like kindling. It'll go up like balsa wood. Praise God. Hallelujah. The foundation of our life has got to be the same as Christ. These are the things that should be on our hearts. Now, God, after hearing, especially after hearing a message like this, now, God, I am ready to enter into the work which you have for me. The work that you've prepared for me, now, God, I'm ready to. But see, we can all change tonight. We can all change. We can start right there. Now, God, I see it in your word. I'm not going to resist it anymore. I see it in your word. Lord, now I'm ready to enter into the... You might not all that entails, and you don't need to. What it means is your heart is ready to receive. Amen? Now, God, I am ready to trust you. Yeah. Christians, we talk about trusting God all the time. But I have yet to find a whole lot of Christians that actually trust God, that actually believe him at his word. Praise the Lord. I mean, it's just the truth. You go through the word and you see promise after promise after promise. And you see God coming and helping his people in the last minute sometimes. But you always see him coming to the faithful and delivering them and setting them free and giving them a new course. And they always come out on the other side looking good. And he's given us this entire book. And yet he says, trust me. We say we trust God. I trust in Jesus. Do you really? Do you trust in him enough to listen to his will and to do his way? Now, God, I am ready to look up and not around. Stop looking around you. It doesn't matter what's happening over here. It doesn't matter what's happening over there. It doesn't matter that, you know, Cory, Pennsylvania is the most prosperous town or is the worst town in the world. Neither of these things matter. The only thing that matters is that you follow God, that you know God, and that you follow his plan. And wherever you go will become prosperous simply because you were there. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to close with Ephesians 4:16. Look at this. Ephesians 4:16. This is right after, you know, the famous Ephesians 4:12 that I happen to love to preach on, you know, that talks about the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, that this is the very purpose of church, is to equip you to go out there and do the ministry. Well, Pastor Jeff, you need to be out there reaching more people. No, you need to be out there reaching more people. Yeah. It's not my job. My job is to preach the word of God. Praise the Lord. Your job is to reach the town that you reside in, yeah, or the church where you're called to, or the people that are called there. Look at this. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what? What are we joined and knit together by? What every joint supplies. Folks, we're not joined and knit together because we say we believe Jesus. We're joined and knit together because of what we bring to the body. Right. Our supply in the body is what connects us to the body. What am I saying? Supplies. It could be finances, but that's not what I'm talking about. It could be your time, but that's not what I'm talking about. It's whatever is those good works. What are the good works we're saved for? What has God saved us to? That's how we're joined in it together. Do you know how much of the church does nothing? How much of the church literally does nothing? You can ask yourself, what do I do for the local church? It's a question we should all ask ourselves and ask ourselves constantly. And what I mean for the local church, I don't mean just what you do when we're having service or something like that. Do I serve in this department or I serve there? I don't exclude those things, but I'm not just talking about those. But what do you do for the local church? What do you do for God's body? What are you doing to try to ensure that everything happens? Because every man, woman, and child is called to the body of Christ to do something, to be a part of it. See, we want our prayers answered. but don't ask me to do anything. We want our prayers answered, but don't ask me to, you know, sit in church faithfully. We want our prayers answered, but don't ask me to, you know, whatever. Glory to God. To live right. Joined and knit together. You know, people get more hung up trying to prove through the word that they can sin, like do things like drink and stuff like that. They will get more hung up trying to do things like that than they will actually trying to figure out what God actually wants them to do. It's unreal, actually, sometimes. From whom the whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. People talk about the love of God. The love of God is the body doing what it's called to do. What's your share? What's your part of the body? Have you consecrated yourself to the Lord? As a pastor, I consecrate myself to the Lord every single day. Coming here today is consecration. Saying, Lord, your will be done, not mine, because my will didn't bring me here. My will does not want to be here. Naturally, I'm speaking, you understand. But my desire to fulfill the plan of God brings me here faithfully and has done so for over 3 years. Why? The will and plan of God. Amen? That should be our heart's desire. And when that becomes our heart's desire, then your prayers get answered. Then you start seeing those supernatural things that you only read about before. It's in the people. It's in the hearts of the people. It happens with people who have the heart for God to do what His work is. My food, my supply is to do the will of God. Amen?